The next item on the agenda is number 11, public comments. This is the opportunity for anyone that's not on the agenda to speak to any matter that's on their mind. The next item on the agenda is public hearing, proposed amendments to Regulation 4 VAC 620-10 to establish the 2007 summer flounder recreational fishing measures. Mr. Travel State, who's handling that, sir? Mr. O'Reilly.
It is I.
Good to see you, sir.
Nice to see you. Commissioner, you have, as do the other commission members, in behind the evaluation, a series of letters from either townships or fishing groups, including a resolution from the County of Accomack. That is in your books. And I'm going to give Ms. Leonard a copy of all the proposal options, the votes that came in to us.
Kathy, make sure you note on air note, receive, date, time, just in case it ends up somewhere other than in our archives. Please.
This is a public hearing, and it is to consider the 2007 summer flounder recreational fishing measures. See, I have someone else's slideshow here. I'd like to start off by saying that we had the benefit, again, 5 years out of six, to have an ad hoc committee to meet with us and help formulate options that we could carry to the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. And without that type of support, staff certainly would have to struggle a bit more. And this has proven to be a good process, having the ad hoc committee. And they met on January 9th. These are the options that they came up with that evening. Option one, 19 inches on the size limit, six fish possession limit, no closed season. Option two, 18 and a half inches, a five fish possession limit, two closed seasons, one that ends March 31st, and a six-day closure in July. Option three, 18 and a half inches, a three fish possession limit, no closed season. Option four, 18 inches, for the size limit, two fish possession limit, a spring closure, and also a 16-day summer closure. All these options are considered conservationally equivalent by the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission.
I'm sure.
At the same time, I think one thing that I want to stress is when we've looked at these options, certain options are better to ensure that we reach the target. And you can see that in 2007, the target is 407,525 summer flounder. That ranks us third with the Atlantic coastal states. And you can also see that the reason that we're in such a situation where we're making a large cut, a 53% reduction this year, is that while last year was a 23.59 million pound total allowable landings for commercial and recreational fisheries, this year, 2007, is 17.11 million pounds. So there's a 28% reduction just to start out with. Another aspect of the recreational fishery is that the target is in terms of numbers of fish. So the pounds are converted to numbers on a coastwide average weight, and that average weight has increased by about a pound since 1993. It's now up to 2.74 pounds average weight. The obvious reason is that all states have increased their size limits through time after 1998. This is more information on all the states. You can see that the landings information for Virginia, however, was 866,610 fish. And one of the problems with this year, 2007, is our target in 2006 was 616,000 summer flounder. So we overshot the target in 2006 quite a bit. And in effect, what has to happen for 2007 is to reduce landings from 866,000 down to 407,000, and that's a 53% reduction. You can also see that all other states, with the exception of Maryland, are also taking somewhat large reductions. New York, New Jersey, Rhode Island as the largest. Maryland has a very small target in comparison, and their landings in 2006 were relatively small, so they do not need to take a reduction. This may be difficult to see in the lighting, but I think what I wanted to show you was that starting in 1998, which is the base year, it's the year after which all management scenarios took place at ASMSC, and it started off with a coastwide 39% reduction. That was in 1999, and we went to a 16-inch size limit. Over time, the reductions have stayed somewhere around 34 to 43%, and in some years, Virginia was able to liberalize to have less strict regulations, 15.5-inch size limit in those 2 years, only to the next year jump up to a 17.5-inch size limit. So there's a history here with Virginia and other states, since this is a year-to-year management basis, that it's a very difficult proposition to stay on target. One reason you can see in 2000 and 2001, and again in 2005 and 2006, pretty much the exact same management measures. The results are, though, that there's a drastic increase, more than a doubling in 2001 compared to 2000, and about 1.5 times in 2006 compared to 2005 with the exact same regulations. So a lot is at play here. Effort, availability of the fish, temperature, it's all very uncontrolled in terms of what we're trying to do when we have to come before you and ask for these types of reductions or liberalizations. In forging these options for 2007, there are three different ways they can be done. One is by increasing the size limit. And you can see that one of the options was 19 inches and 6 fish. There's a 53% reduction that's required. Well, just that option of going from 16.5, which we had in 2006, up to 19 inches meets the 53% requirement. You can also see even at 18 inches, however, it would take a 1-fish limit compared to the 6-fish limit that was enjoyed in 2005, 2006 to achieve that. What can be done from there is to look at size limits, what they contribute, almost 45% with a 2-fish limit. If you go over to 18.5, which is also two of the options, you can see that most of the reduction is made with a 3-fish limit, a 5-fish limit, a little less, not quite 50%. So the third aspect besides the size limit and the possession limit is a closed season. In talking about the possession limit, there certainly is the lure, as a lot of the comments have shown us, to having a possession limit that is not too small. Whether or not a lot of fishermen actually take the 6-fish limit seems not to matter. What matters is for a lot of types of fishing, you do want to have at least the lure of being able to catch 6 fish, 5 fish. 2 fish or 1 fish is certainly bad for tourism, certainly bad for charter boats, and I will add also at this point that any of the size limit options that you see for 2007 we know are already bad for shore fishermen and pier fishermen. Over time, they certainly have been pushed aside to some extent by the management regimes that we face. But what you see over here is that most anglers, almost 87%, take 2 fish or less on a coastwide basis. Virginia may do a little bit better, but most of the percentage that is taken is by two fish or less. Once you're up to three fish, it's nearly 95%. This information just shows the basis for a closed season. It's a distribution of landings which states have been fixed at for a number of years. The reason it's used is because 1994 to 1998 predates the regulatory regime that has started in 1999. So it's been thought that this type of distribution of landings comes closest to representing where Virginia would be, or any state, using these type of data. This has been challenged in recent years by New York and also Connecticut, and so we at least showed the ad hoc committee this time around that we could try and use more recent landings. They opted to stay with this approach. One thing about this approach, which you can't see readily, is wave two is March and April. The wave one, January and February, is absent because National Marine Fisheries Service does not do their survey during January and February. Wave three, May, June, July, August, September, October, and November, December. So what you can see is nearly 47% of the landings occur by the time you get to the end of June, and nearly 88% by the time you get to the end of August. So from May to August is the main part of this fishery. This just shows you a little bit about how the landings are then taken and put into a probability distribution. And the only reason I think this is important is because if you roughly get down here to the end of March, since some of the proposals have a January 1 to March 31st closure, you see that it's a very low percentage. It's just over 2% of the landings. However, another slide I'll show you will show you that that's fairly variable, as it was in 2006, so that in fact March can be much more important. I have the date July 9th here, again, only to show you that the area under the curve by that time is much greater. Nearly 50% of the landings have occurred, but also in mid-July to mid-August, on a daily basis, one day of fishing, that's where you get very close to 1% reduction through a seasonal closure. This is the landings in terms of two-month intervals or wave, and I think you can see 2005 and 2006. One thing you can see is that every wave, whether it be March and April all the way to November and December, were higher than the previous year with the exact same regulations, hence the much larger landings. But also you can see wave two had a fairly high amount of landings, nearly as much as July and August, which if you look at the percentages down in the second split of the table, you can see that it was a case where landings were extremely high in wave two in March and April, nearly 21%. You have to travel back to 1999 when we had a 16-inch size limit to find anything comparable. This takes all three pieces of the reduction scenarios and pieces them together. First of all, you have a seasonal closure option, and this is option two. That's what this is based on. So this is based on a closure through March, which gives you a little less than 2.2% on a reduction. But keep in mind that March can be much greater than shown in the 94 to 98 data. Then you add in a six-day closure in July, July 23rd to 28th. That gives you an additional almost 5%. And then in going from a 16.5 up to an 18.5-inch size limit and dropping the possession limit from six fish to five fish, it's a 49% reduction. And together it's 53%. And I know someone might say, well, that's not all additive. It's not supposed to be. If you look up here, what this really is telling you is that while there's a size limit benefit of 49%, you don't get that full benefit because of the seasonal closure. So in other words, when the season's already closed, you're not getting any of the credit for a bag or a possession and a size limit. I think this bears on the options directly. as one of the bigger factors. And what you see here to the very right is some abrupt shifting depending on the size limit regime. Back when we had a 15.5-inch size limit in 2001, most of the landings were coming from the seaside of Eastern Shore and the ocean. Same thing in 2002. There's asterisks after this 17.5 because in 2002 there was a 15.5-inch size limit that lasted through May 31st on the seaside of Eastern Shore and in the ocean. Essentially, the main part of that fishery occurs during that time period. So again, you had the seaside with a large portion with the ocean of the total landings. In 2003, it was a statewide 17.5-inch size limit, and you see the reversal. With the higher size limit, the Chesapeake area became dominant in terms of the landings. That held through a 17-inch size limit in 2004, and then you start to see some perhaps equilibrium here with the 16.5-inch size limit in terms of how the area's landings have occurred. The unfortunate thing is we won't know because the target was reduced so dramatically that we can't stay at 16.5 inches. But nonetheless, the size limit does have an area impact. We are on a statewide basis for the fishery, but I don't think we can ignore the fact that the areas of the Chesapeake and the seaside and the ocean do have some differences. If you look at the weighs at the May-June period, you can see for the seaside and ocean, that is always the larger portion is occurring during May and June. The Chesapeake changes a little bit from either May or June, or perhaps here even in July and August. But again, you'll notice that the size limit is higher when the Chesapeake has more of a fishery in July and August. Another factor that we can't predict beforehand, but we can look at afterwards, is the effort that occurs. And I've looked in the past, and the only wave that you can tie directly to the summer flounder landings with any type of significance through a regression analysis is wave 3, May and June. So generally, as wave 3 goes, you know that you'll have a pretty good indication of how the fishery goes as well. That's better information probably for the future when we can stay at a static size limit like we have in the past for a couple of years at a time. But for right now, it just tells you that the effort is very variable, and that's something that has to be considered when we're trying to choose the best option. I put up a number of indications from a staff perspective about what these options mean. First of all, option one, 19 inches and six fish, no closed season. On paper, that's a more than a 53% reduction. There's no problem there. There's no closed season. That's certainly popular with a lot of anglers, as you'll see in an upcoming slide. The possession limit remains fairly high, six fish, as it was the previous 2 years. One difficulty is the high amount of discards. The higher the size limit, the more discards. And in fact, on a coastwide basis, out of 22 million fish that are caught, you have to figure that with all the harvest, it's only 15%. So 85% of the catch is being released already. Most states are going to go up on size limit. That's only going to exacerbate the situation with discards. Granted, discards are ranked at about a 10% mortality level. However, that's a study that probably hasn't been updated for quite some years through the work of John Lucy at VIMS. There's also a disproportional impact by area. If you remember the last slide where the previous slides where I talked about the idea of how a size limit can affect either the seaside and the ocean compared to the Chesapeake, a 19-inch size limit would very much impact the seaside of Eastern Shore and the ocean to a greater extent than smaller size limits would. Option two is what staff is going to recommend to you today, 18.5 inches, five fish, two closed seasons, and The reason for our recommendation is we do think it's important to have that spring closure. If you look, it was in place for 5 years. It came off, and I think probably the effects of if you do have warm temperatures, if you do have an early fishery, which they were catching them as early as mid-March last year, it can have a significant effect, more than 2%. On the other hand, July 23rd to 28th is a 6-day closure. It's very unfavorable with a lot of anglers, but it is a time when there are other things that can be done. Here's wave 4, July and August. This shows you that it's the most diverse opportunities for fishing in what's known as the inland area. So this is Chesapeake Bay and the seaside. This doesn't include the ocean. But you can look and see that there are plenty of opportunities during that 6-day period. And I'm going to do a double previous here. So in addition, when the ad hoc committee met, one thing they talked about was this is the time of pony penny over on Chincoteague. So this does correspond to some effort that won't take place. And it was their particular choice to configure these dates around the pony penny. The closure through March is very important. The reduction here, the reason that staff approves of this, it's still mainly from the minimum size limit. That really does all the work. The possession limit probably is overrated for the amount of credit that you can get for a possession limit. As you saw, it's a very small amount anyway. And the closed seasons, they are helpful, but I don't think they're as predictable as a size limit change. Also, the possession limit stays fairly high, even if most of the data suggests that 5 fish is something that not everyone or even 10% of the anglers are taking on a regular basis. It does have the benefits I spoke of earlier for charter fishing, tourism, and someone probably knows a lot of other reasons. Option 3 certainly has less discards than the 19 inches, as does option 2. The possession limit is very low. I think probably this was one that the main focus is there's no closed season. And I think probably that's enough that some who voted for this option, really see the no closed season. On the other hand, staff sees a problem with no spring closure, which has a pretty good track record. The possession limit savings of 4% is unlikely. Whether the real 4% will be taken just from dropping down from 6 to 3 on paper, it says yes. Staff has doubts. Option 4, 18 inches, 2 fish, the spring close season, and a very long close season, 16 days in the summer. This poses the least change in the size limit. It's also the possession limit at its lowest, 2 fish. So I think it's not going to be a popular item for many who voted for these options, and it wasn't. At the same time, the possession limit savings are deceptive, as mentioned up here, and there's a higher risk to breach the target. In 2003, with a 17.5-inch size limit, the landings were about 457,000 fish. There are many more larger fish available now than there were in 2003. This would be a very risky option to pass because of the fact that it shows it could overtake this target. It also has the highest recoupment potential, and what I mean by that is you have a 6-day closed season up here. If there is an average angler, he or she may not think much about the 6 days given there are other things to do, given there's pony penny, and they may just let it ride. A 16-day closure, however, would be one where I think a lot of anglers would want to anticipate and plan for other trips either prior to or after this time period in order to make up or recoup for what they feel is lost opportunity. Here's a scoreboard, and it has the options at top, and it shows that option 1 has received 126 votes. It's also been endorsed. You have it in your books. The Great Bridge Fishermen's Association voted for option 1, as did the Peninsula Saltwater Sports Fishermen Association. For option 2, in terms of individual votes, This option received the most votes, 189 votes. It's also endorsed by the Chincoteague Charter Boat Association, the Northampton County Anglers Club, the Town of Chincoteague, and the County of Accomack through a resolution. Option 3 received 96 votes, but also had the Virginia Charter Boat Association voting for this option. Option 4 received 34 votes, and just as other notes, the CCA Deltaville chapter voted individually. They had various options, and also if you come down here, you have that none of the above voted 5 votes, letters that came in that didn't support any of the options. And also there was the CCA, which manned a tableside survey at the boat show, and these are the results of that tableside survey, where they had 52 in favor of option 1, 25 in favor of option 2, 71 in favor of option 3, and 26 in favor of option 4. I'm going to leave that up there just to let you know, again, that staff also met with FMAC, and that was up on one of your slides, that FMAC last week endorsed option 2 by a vote of 8-0 to 2 abstentions. And the last thing that I would bring to your attention, if you care to look at the through all the way through the paper, and the regulation is towards the back, and in 3 different sections of the draft regulation, you'll find the changes that staff is proposing. And I believe it's sections 50, 60, and 70. And so if you go to page 5, and actually you have to go to page 6. Page 6, minimum size limits. The recommendation is to go from 16.5 to 18.5 inches. If you turn to page 7, the possession limit, the recommended change would be from 6 to 5 summer flounder. And then if you go to page 8, the recommendation is that excluding the Potomac River tributaries, the closure would be January 1 through March 31 and July 23 through July 28. So that would be option 2. And the Potomac River tributaries for several years have really been managed according to whatever the Potomac River Fisheries Commission adopts for the main stem. And that's all that I have, Commissioner.
I've got one question before we get into the... I'm having a hard time determining totality of votes. Peninsula Saltwater Sports Fishermen Association voted as a group for option 1. Does that mean they got one vote out of the 126 listed?
Well, when they voted, they didn't put the membership numbers. I didn't highlight the membership numbers as I went through, but I certainly think a group vote is handled differently as just a vote here, in my mind. I mean, that's, you know, you have an entire group voting for it.
Because right off the bat, Great Bridge, 345 with option 1.
Right.
That's just one.
Right. I think there are two classifications here, at least the way we've always looked at this, that you do have the townships, you do have the associations, and that's why we listed them differently. They are not included in these votes. These are all individual votes at the top.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Tigard?
Yes, sir. One question on Table 8. You mentioned that the closure reduction with under Scenario 2 would add up to 53%, but yet when I do the math out, it's 56.5543.
Yes, I think I made a note of
you that. Did, and I didn't catch that.
That's all right. I'm gonna fast backwards here, I hope. All right, what occurs here, if you look at this language up here, the total reduction equals season closure reduction plus 1 minus the seasonal closure times the size bag. What occurs is whatever reduction you get for the seasonal closure, which let's just say is about 7%.
Right.
If that 7% 1 minus that is 93%. So your effective reduction from the size bag is 93% of 49%. And the reason is because while there's a closed season, you aren't gaining anything from the bag and size limit because the fishery's closed. They're not additive.
Any other questions for Rob? Mr. Holland and then Mr. Fox. Oh, you didn't, I'm sorry. Mr. Fox, you have a question?
I'm just wondering about four fish, 18 and a half, and closed in the spring and not in the summer. I guess I'm worried about the enforcement of the July 23 to July 28th, or in the bottom one, the enforcement of the July closure, and whether the average fisherman would actually understand that. Of course, the charter boat fisherman would understand it, but whether the average fisherman is going to understand it, I just don't know.
Well, we have a track record of the summer closures that go back, if I can find the right table here. So we have these summer closures. This was actually a 7-day closure in 1999. And then a longer closure in 2000, and then an even longer closure in 2001 in the summer. So we do have that experience, and I don't recall that law enforcement ever had that many violations at that time, only because I've come to learn that this is the most widely advertised regulation around. By word of mouth and other ways.
Yeah. Any further? All right, this is a public hearing. We'll open the public hearing. Who would like to speak to these proposed regulations? Yes, sir.
Afternoon.
How are you, man?
I'm fine.
Good.
My name is Craig Page. I'm the owner of Page 2 Charters. I've been fishing here for 35 years, and this is my seventh year running charters. Primarily, 90% of the targeted species that I target during the summer is in the Chesapeake Bay for flounder. That's primarily what I do. That's what I'm about. That's one of the reasons I'm here. And I also am a member of the Great Bridge Fishermen's Association. 345 members, we did take a vote. I noticed that option two had a little bit more votes, but you got to remember that the Peninsula Saltwater Fishing Club and Great Bridge represent probably 10 times more than the 180-some votes that the other had, although they voted as a group. But I was there when it happened. I am for the 19 and 6, and I'd like to say one of the reasons I'm for that. It looks like on paper that last year that there was a lot more, you know, we overcaught what we were supposed to and everything. But you have to remember that last year, as far as weather was concerned, it was a very mild summer. We didn't have the hurricanes. We didn't have the tropical storms. They bypassed us. They talk about this closed season. Usually nature has a way of taking care of that for us, July and August. And, you know, I'm happy that we didn't have it last year, but, you know, we've been pretty fortunate since Isabel. And I think what's going to happen in the future is, you know, who's to say for sure, but I think nature's going to take care of that closed season for you as far as a week or 10 days. And it usually happens if you look back in past years that nature's taken care of that, particularly in August. That being said, also the income for the tackle stores that take place during that time, a large percentage of it is in July and August for flounder. You'd be surprised how much flounder tackle is sold, bait, and income and revenue for the city of Virginia Beach and the whole Chesapeake Bay, actually. And speaking for myself as a charter boat, it would be a loss, basically, and for many other charter boats that run flounder trips, primarily because that time of year is what I primarily base a lot of my income on. So it would be a loss for me, speaking for myself. And I'm against the 18 and a half And the reason I say that, I think it would be a nightmare to enforce that half inch. Yes, they've had a half inch before, but, you know, kind of round it off to 19 or, you know, 18 and a half. What's a half inch? I know it looks good on paper, but I think for law enforcement, I think it would be a more of a headache, you know, to go ahead and round it off to 19. And as far as that closure for 1 week is concerned, there's another thing I would say for the law enforcement. You know, a lot of people don't know about that closure. And for someone to say, you know, they're out there fishing, and, you know, in the middle of July when it's tourist season and so forth, well, was it this week or was it last week? And the guy stops you and say, what are you fishing for? Oh, we're fishing for flounder. Well, don't you know it's closed season? And they get their book out. And the guy's like, well, I don't have any idea. I mean, I could see that happening. And the guy not doing it, the people not doing it on purpose, they just, you know, are out there fishing and they didn't realize this was the week. But if you don't have to worry about that if you didn't have a closed season. You know, just go ahead and open it up. And as far as, you know, people that are out of town coming and visiting, you know, this is a big tourist area. And these people come in from Delaware, Maryland, South Carolina, North Carolina, to come to the Chesapeake Bay to fish, and they're staying down at the hotel. They don't have any idea when there's a closed flounder season. You know, they've been fishing here 10 years or whatever. Oh, well, it wasn't closed last year. We didn't know. You know, what are you going to tell them? I know ignorance of the law is no excuse, but it's kind of hard to write a guy with a South Carolina comes up here to go fishing with his family, and he's got three or four flounder in there. And as far as the 19 and 6, I've been fishing here a long time, and I target flounder. And most people are not going to catch 6 flounder that are keeper-sized flounder. Your average guy. On a good day, let's say you have 3 or 4 people, if he has 10 or 12 flounder in the boat over 19 inches, he's had a good day. So, yeah, it looks a little high with the 6 fish, but bear in mind, very few people are actually going to catch 6 fish over 19 inches to bring them in. It'll probably be 3 or 4 on a good day. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Rob, do me a favor. Can you put that...
That's what we just asked to do.
Yep. Okay. Good deal. You're reading my mind. You're getting good. Who's next?
You want that slide up?
Yes, I do. I want the options. I don't need the votes because yeah, that one right there. Who's next? Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is Randy Lewis. I'm from Watchbrig over on the Eastern Shore.
How are you?
My family has the Watchbrig Motel, Captain Zed's Bait and Tackle, and the Island House Restaurant. We've been in business since 1974. I don't like to get up and disagree with the folks from the bayside, but there is a big difference in flounder catches on the bayside and the seaside, particularly the Chesapeake Bay. They have the fortunate ability of catching larger flounder throughout the season. We do catch flounder a little earlier in the season on the seaside, but a 19-inch fish, especially going from a 16.5-inch size fish, is a big jump. And I have to disagree with the half-inch. The half-inch is a big deal when you're fishing. It seemed like we had a 16.5-inch regulation last year, and a lot of the fish being caught were 16 inches. And the half-inch does make a difference. And I think most of the fishermen, at least the ones coming into the tackle shops, and we hope they're coming into the tackle shops, they get their cards so they know what the regulations are. Granted, they are confusing, and they change every year, and it's difficult for the average fisherman. And to be honest with you, trying to follow the all the data that's been collected here, and I commend those folks that collect all this data, but I find it very confusing, and I'm sure most people that come fishing find it equally as confusing. And I know the flounder must find it very confusing. As far as the Eastern Shore goes, and I'm not representing the Eastern Shore, I am speaking on behalf of the town of Watchbrig and the Watchbrig Charter Boat Association, and we did meet. I was at the Accomack County Board of Supervisors meeting. They voted for option 2. The Chincoteague Charter Boat Association did, as well as the town of Chincoteague. The Eastern Shore Anglers Club, which I didn't see listed up there with 350-plus members, also voted for option 2. It's only a half inch, and there is a closed season from January 1 to March 31. Well, January and February, we don't have many people fishing for flounder over our way, and I don't think they do in the Chesapeake Bay. In January, there's a lot of rockfish being caught. So March, now last year, March, the ability for people to come and fish in March was good. Unfortunately, the weather's not very good in March, so in reality, we didn't really have a lot of fishermen in March. Losing the days from July 23rd to 28th, I don't think anyone likes that. One thing the Chesapeake Bay does have over the seaside of the Eastern Shore is there's a lot of fish being caught in the Chesapeake Bay at that time of year. We don't have that luxury. There seems to be a disparity between the seaside of the Eastern Shore and the Chesapeake Bay. It always has been, and it is what it is. There's a lot more fish to be caught in the Chesapeake Bay. Maybe there should be some consideration of some different regulations, and I know that's been talked about before, and it wasn't very popular for some, but a 19-inch fish and a 6-fish limit is not going to be very favorable to the seaside of the Eastern Shore. And quite honestly, 6-fish, 5-fish, 4-fish, going from a 16.5-inch fish to an 18.5-inch or 19-inch fish isn't going to make much difference on how many you can keep because, like this gentleman said, you don't catch that many 19-inch fish in a day's time. We sure don't in Watcha Creek. But what people come for is the possibility, the lure of they might catch 6 fish. So 3 fish or 2 fish is certainly not an option that any tourist would consider. And I think they're going to have a hard time wanting to pay a charter boat, you know, that kind of money to fish for 3 fish or 2 fish. And 19 inches is a difficult sell as well. My other concern is that Maryland may not be following with the regulations that Virginia is proposing, and North Carolina certainly didn't last year either. There seems to be an inconsistency with the states as far as which state is going to be going with which regulations, and that certainly is an unfair advantage for Maryland and North Carolina. And a lot of people will decide to go to Maryland or North Carolina instead of coming to Virginia if there is a big difference in the regulations. I think the gas prices are going to have an impact. They're certainly having an impact on what charters are costing to run. And the trickle-down economics of the recreational anglers is a huge, huge dollar for the state of Virginia, for the Chesapeake Bay and for the Eastern Shore. I just also have some questions on how the data is collected. I guess I've always been a little concerned about that. I, you know, random telephone surveys. I don't quite see that, you know, following through. I don't see people at the docks collecting data like they do for the tuna fish and the marlin and dolphin for the flounder. So I don't have, you know, answers at this moment, but on how we can get better data collection. But I look at all these numbers and I don't know where all those numbers come from. It sure does have a big impact on our business and everyone else's on the Eastern Shore. And so, although I'm not particularly in favor of any of the four options, option two obviously is the most favorable, and that's the one that we're asking that people consider.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Who's next? Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Lee Atkinson, and do I need to provide anything else?
No, sir. That's fine.
Okay. I am one of, I would say, 90% of the fishing effort placed on summer flounder, and that's I'm a recreational fisherman. I own my own boat. I don't use a guide. I'm not selling my fish, obviously. but like I say, I am one of 90% of the folks using or taking advantage of the resource. I would also venture to say that recreational fishermen account for 90% of the money spent. Now, I'm grabbing 90% out of the air, that's true, but I think it's not far off. As I heard the presentations earlier, I do have to say I agree, and I think most fishermen, recreational fishermen, agree with staff. And that option two, if we have to make a sacrifice, then it's the most, it's the easiest. We can live losing January and February and March, the weather's lousy anyway. Six fish. I fished probably 15 times last summer targeting flounder. I think I limited twice. And I think that's true of most recreational fishermen. Commercial fishermen, chartermen, have the opportunity to develop their skills to a higher level and may be able to limit out more often. At three fish and two fish bag limits, I'm not going to spend the gas. As an earlier gentleman mentioned, that was going to have an impact on the fishing effort that takes place. And I think that's worth thinking about. But I would not, for three fish or two fish maximum potential, I'm not going. I'm not going to spend the money to go. I'm not going to buy the bait to go. It's not worth my effort. I think arguments that we won't be able to advise out of state fishermen or occasional fishermen that the season is closed, I just don't see that as a problem. Every launching ramp, every marina has notices tacked on it, what the size limits are. Everybody has to buy a license. There's information available with that. I think we have communicated that too well, if anything, with overkill. I think we've succeeded. I think fishermen are more than capable of understanding this. Consider striped bass regulations. Now that gets a little more complicated, but we don't have a problem there either. So I think that's a non-argument in my position. I don't know anyone who is that ignorant that they can't deal with that. So anyway, I'd like to say I agree with staff.
Thank you so very much. Anyone else? All right. Now close the...
Could I ask one question?
Yes, sir.
Is that allowed?
I couldn't figure it out quickly enough. What was the reduction in the commercial quota?
Mr. Riley?
28% was for both the commercial and the recreational. The difference for the recreational is we were well over the 2006 target, which was 616,000 fish.
Statistically?
Well, with the data that's provided us, yes. On the commercial end, the data are in pounds only, so a little bit more of the 53% reduction is the conversion from the average weight, which is 2.74 pounds. Someone asked earlier about the data collection. That's certainly something that you could talk about for quite a while as far as who gets interviewed, how those phone calls are really made, but it is the data we have. And so the 53% reduction is part going over the target in 2006 and part a 28% reduction for both commercial and recreational. Does that help you?
A little bit.
Okay.
Is that to say that commercial takes half of the reduction and recreational takes the other half?
Well, commercial starts out with 60% of the allocation, coast block. Recreational is 40%. From there, it was a 28% reduction to each sector. So the commercial would have a 28% reduction plus anything it went over on its 2006 quota. Same with the recreational. In the case of the recreational, the overage is about 1.5 times. That's why it's a 53% reduction for the recreational. Getting closer?
Yeah, the recreational guy takes the bigger hit.
Sir, we're having a debate on this, not a forum. Thank you so very much. Come on up here. I'll guarantee you won't.
No, you...
Your name, please, sir.
Gary Sawyer.
Hi, Gary.
I'm not from
here.
Virginia. I'm from North Carolina.
Good to have you here.
Spent a lot of money up here.
We love that.
Trying to catch the fish. And, you know, it's so much different. It's so much different. I've been fishing up here, coming up here with my daddy for 25 years, and I'd give anything to bring those days back, but the fish are gone. I mean, we can all sit right here and say we're gonna do this and we're going to do that, but the fish are gone. And I would be one. I told my buddy Doug to come here with me. I'd be one. I'll sit out a year as good as I love to fish. And one day a week, I love to take off, take my boat and go fishing. I just love to do it. Forgive me if I'm wrong. But I would sit out 1 year anytime. If it's going to save us 23 million pounds of fish, yeah, I'll take a siesta for a year. I wouldn't like it, but I'll do it because I would think that the next year maybe I could catch a few fish again. I mean, I remember the day when I could come here and catch a 4-pound flounder and throw the same bait back over and pull a 4-pound gray trout. If I hadn't seen a gray trout so long, I don't even know if I know what one is now. But, you know, those days are gone and it's sad. And my thing is you're gonna penalize us. How does anybody know out of all those boats how many fish the recreational fish are catching? They don't know. And it's all a guesstimate. And my thing is, you know, if we sit out a year, are you going to stop the trawlers for a year? All the fish they're hauling in, they're the ones catching the fish. I mean, we pull us if we want to, but they're the ones that are catching them. I mean, I've seen net fishermen, and I know they got to make a living too, but I've seen them, but I come in with one fish that long, and I've seen them shoveling fish with a grain shovel into trash cans, 55-gallon trash cans. So, you know, don't ask me who's catching the most fish, because I know where the most fish are being hauled in, but... the fish are gone, and it's sad, and I'd love to see them come back. But, you know, yeah, if we could stop the trawling some fishing, I'd say let's take off a year and rest up a year.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Anyone else? All right, public hearing is now closed.
I'd like to make one.
Absolutely. The floor is yours first, Mr. McCluskey, and then I see Mr. Bowden out of my periphery.
At the Rudy Inlet marinas, there was a poll conducted. 112 people voted. The names are in this book. And 74, which equals 66%, voted for option one. Just want to read that into the record.
Thank you. Mr. Bowden?
I like to set the record straight on a few things. These comments about commercial fishing, as everybody here knows, and hopefully a lot in the audience, I am a commercial fisherman. I'm no big trawler fan. I get on that, so there's a conflict there a lot of times. But the recreational fishery would never want to be under the same constraints that the commercial are. If we go over 1 pound, we pay 1 pound back the next year. For example, recreational went over 1 million pound. Over on straight bass last year. The commercial fishery would be closed down this year because we would have to pay 1 million pounds back. So you don't know how fortunate enough you are. The fact is, the commercial sector would like to be in your situation where we could just adjust the regulations the following year, hopefully to not repeat it. That's not an option for us. We'll actually have to pay it back. And a couple other comments. I don't think 18 and a half or 19 is going to be a law enforcement issue. My yardstick has got eighth of an inch marks on it, and I'm sure yours does too. So 18 and a half or 19, I don't think law enforcement will have any. I mean, you know, if you made it 18 and 8, I could say, yeah, I could see a problem. But half-inch increments, I don't see a problem in that. I think one, this is going on fairly, no matter what way you look. I don't like none of the options. I'm going to be honest with you. I think the fishery's in a lot better shape than this. This is all brought on by a lawsuit. I don't think it's necessary, but we have no choice. We have to do something. We're talking about targeting, you know, it's going to have more effect on the seaside than the main stem of Chesapeake Bay, and that's 100% true because the fish are generally smaller. But on the other hand, we have completely eliminated the river fisheries with any of these regulations. Mr. Jenkins is back there. He sits on the fin fish and been, you know, very faithful over the years, and I'm sure he would tell you that any of the options, 18, 19, it's just like having it 5 foot because it don't make any difference. There's not going to be any there that way. So we're trying to do a balancing act where we do the best we can for the most people we can, knowing that it's going to affect some people more than others. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. So everyone who has approached me has been in support of option two, and I feel it's probably the fairest option of them all, if there's such a thing as a fair option. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Any time we cut a quota by over 50%, we're taking a really dramatic action from a management standpoint. I think given the scale of the cuts, we do need to be sensitive to what is essentially an equity issue that I think staff has already addressed. I think staff has arrived at a balanced position in recognizing that the further you go up in the minimum size limit, the more disproportionate impact you're going to have on the seaside of the Eastern Shore. And I think there's something of an equity issue there that needs to be considered. So I think staff's arrived at a good position on this.
Thank you, Mr. Tankard.
Well, I was, unless you want to hear from Mr. McConney, I'd like to move that we accept staff's recommendation of option number two.
I'll check with the doctor first, then I'll be right back to you and someone else.
I'll second.
Let me.
I was just going to say option two also seems to be the best option to limit it, the overfishery that we had last year from what you said. So I think option two is the best for both of equity as well as maintaining the fishery over a long period.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor. Motion made by Mr. Tankard, seconded by Mr. Holland. Any further discussion? I'm sorry. Council has a question.
Is the intention to have a July closure on the seaside of the Eastern Shore also?
The intention would be statewide.
Okay. Well, I'm looking on page 8 of 9.
Okay.
Subsection A. It says closure is only for the Chesapeake Bay and its tributaries. It doesn't refer to the coastal area.
I see that. The intention is statewide, so with the commission's indulgence, we will take care of that.
Good catch, Carl. The maker of the motion and second, I understand that.
Yes.
I agree.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
One no. Motion carries 8-1. Thank you so very much. And also, Rob and Jack, thanks to all the ad hoc and all the other folks who put in a lot of good hard work to it. We really appreciate that vetting process and everything. Next item on the agenda is the proposed amendments to Regulation 4 VAC 295010, commercial black sea bass harvest quota and other restrictions. Good afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon. This public hearing is to address the three emergency amendments made to the Black Sea Bass Regulation last month that went into effect February 1st. The first of the three amendments was to increase